2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, to the other the aroma of life leading to life, and who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. It is true that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 proclaims it. It is a theme that runs throughout the scriptures. And Jesus is the same today as he was yesterday when that scripture was written. And he will be the same tomorrow when we read that scripture again. Jesus Christ never changes. Amen. He is a solid rock. He is a rock on which the church is to be founded upon. He is the rock that every individual Christian is supposed to be standing on. He is a rock that doesn't move when the storms come and when the winds blow. When the storm is over and the waters recede and the winds stop, the rock is still there. It has been there from the time before time began. He is there right now, and He will always be that rock. Hallelujah. He may be the rock that the builders had rejected, but He is the chief cornerstone. And He is to be the chief cornerstone of each and every one of our lives. He's not a stone. He is not a cornerstone. He is the rock. He's like the Rock of Gibraltar. Hallelujah. Even more so. He just does not change. He is always there for you. He is always there for me. He has never turned His back on us. He loves us with an everlasting love. And He has promised us in His Word that I will not leave you and I will not forsake you. He tells us in His Word that He has invested into each and every one of us His Spirit. That's why the scripture, Paul said to the Corinthian church that the Spirit of God was given to us as a guarantee. And that word guarantee means earnest money. It's like a down payment. And oh man, just think about it. If the Holy Spirit of God is considered only the down payment of what all of heaven has, whoa man, are we in for a eternity that is indescribable. And I'm not talking about a candy bar. The scripture says that it is, that my joy can be inexpressible. I just so filled with that joy and with that hope that I can't even express it. It's just there. That's not even where I planned on going. But that's okay. That was free. I won't charge you for that. He is the now God. Say that with me. He is the now God. We cannot change yesterday. There's not a one of us here can change yesterday. If we could, there's probably several things that we would change. Amen? Amen? There are probably several things that we would change. But we can't change yesterday. And I dare say, I mean, there's a lot of things that I did I'm not proud of. But if I was able to change stuff in my past, what would happen would be the person I am now wouldn't be the person I am now. Because I'm the person I am now because of the things that were in the past that are part of the building blocks that God used, the sin and the victories that He used in my life to build me to be who I am today. So I'm not really sure as I would change anything. Because if I changed that, I would change who I am now. And who I am now is the person that God has created in order to reach people that I am able to reach. If I was to change my past in drugs and jail and all that stuff, then I wouldn't be able to walk into a prison now and say, Jesus Christ can set you free. Because they look at me and say, you're just a preacher boy. What do you know? Oh, let me tell you how I know. Because I've been where you at. And I'm telling you right now, you can be where I'm at. If you'll stop doing what you're doing where you're at. See, that was the key. I stopped doing what I was doing when I was at that so that I wouldn't be at that anymore. So that would stop being that, and this will be now. You following me? Good. I'm glad you are. Because I'm not quite sure what I said myself. But anyways, he's the God of the now. I can't change yesterday. But how I live for him today in the now does directly affect my tomorrow. So the person that I will be tomorrow is just as hinged on who I am now as to how I am now was hinged on who I was in the yesterday. Now the blessing here is that in the now, I'm making choices, hopefully I'm making choices that are godly choices and righteous choices, so that I will be much more like God tomorrow. That I can express him in deeper ways tomorrow than I even can now. But see, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm so glad of that. I hope you're glad of that this morning. What we sow today will be reaped tomorrow. Our text is clear that we can have the victory today. Therefore, we can also have the victory tomorrow. True? Come on, you guys going to speak to me today. All right? This is the last day of 2006. It's been a long year. I'm tired. I need some help. Okay, so you got to help me this morning. Especially since we got to keep right on going till past midnight tonight. Hallelujah. We have the victory today, therefore we can have the victory tomorrow. This victory is not just to bless us as individuals, though, but it is the way that God demonstrates his power in us to this world for righteous living. To some, it will be sweet, and to others, it'll be repulsive. You ever find that? That there's some people, because of your stand for Christ, they go, wow, you're a cool person. You're neat. You're all right. Tell me more. And you have other people say, man, you're an idiot. Get out of my face. I don't want to hear about your God. Go away. Basically, they're saying, you stink. I don't know what I did. You ever have that? Somebody just get really mad at you, and they tell you to take your God and go away, and blah, 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 and you stand, and they walk away, and all you did was say, be blessed. Oh, I'm sorry, you know. Actually, I'm not sorry, but, you know, to some it's sweet, and to others it's repulsive, but to us it's victory. To us it's victory. In verse 14, Paul said, now, say now. See, he's the God of the now. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us, and that's a key word, lead, always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it says, we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain, for he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of your salvation. See, we serve the God of the now. Right now, God wants to do a work in you. Right now, God wants to forgive you of sin that is in your life. Right now, God wants to impart his power into you for righteous living. Right now, he wants to deliver you out of the hands of darkness and out of the hands of the enemy and put you in his marvelous light. If you're here this morning and you have never received Jesus Christ as Lord, God wants you saved now. He doesn't want to wait till tomorrow. You don't know if you've got tomorrow. You only have today. And today, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of your salvation. Hallelujah. He's the God of the now. The word now in the Greek is noon. It's pronounced like noonday, okay? And it means now. And I think that's so neat. Sometimes, you know, when you look up in Greek words and you want to get an in-depth look at it, and I found that the direct translation of that Greek word for now is now. 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 It's a primary particle of present time, meaning immediately. And it can also mean seasonal. That it's a season. Jesus said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest He said, the fields are white, white for harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the field. Why? Because it's the season. I believe that this area is ripe for picking. We've been fertilizing it. We have been planting seed in it. We have been walking on it. We have been praying for it. And I believe that this year, this coming year, 2007, is going to be a year of harvest in this area. I believe it's going to be a year of victory in this area. I believe that God has called you and me to be a part of that. Why? Because he says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of your salvation. Hallelujah. I'm having fun. You can just go for the ride. God has promised us so much in his word. The word accepted in the Greek there that says the accepted time means accepted, approved, or most favorable. So we can read that verse 2 in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is now immediately is the most favored defined time. Now immediately is the season of your salvation, deliverance, and rescue. Hallelujah. God has promised this. Turn with me to Joel chapter 2. In Joel chapter 2, for those of you who don't know where that is, it's on page 801. Mixed in with all the other minor prophets, had major things to say. But in Joel chapter 2, beginning at verse 23, the prophet Joel, speaking for the Lord, puts forth these promises to God's people. Be glad then, you children of Zion. Speaking of us. Be glad, you children of Zion. Don't have that spirit of heaviness, but a spirit of praise. Hallelujah. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month, the threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army, which I sent among you, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord who has dealt wondrously with you. Hallelujah. That's words of encouragement. He will take back those years that the locust has eaten, that the swarming locust has devoured. You know, when my mother passed away, she left behind these reels, many reels of 8mm film. And they're silent movies. And I'm on it. Kathy's on it. Our wedding was on it. And I played all of that on a projector, and I set the video camera up on a tripod, and I zoomed right in so I could record it onto tape. I'm going to put it onto a DVD and give my brothers and sisters a copy. Well, as I'm doing this, I came across our wedding. Kathy's and my wedding. There's a whole minute and a half on that, and I captured just that and put it on a DVD. I think I might show it tonight, because one of the things I want to share tonight is that old things have passed away. Behold, all things come new. That the old things of 2006, our defeats, our problems, all of this, let's move on. Let's move on from that. Don't let that stuff grip you. Don't let that stuff pull you down. Let's move ahead in victory. You know, and that's what I want to share tonight. But I want to share that. I want to show that. Because what you're going to see is absolutely hilarious. I put it to music because it really is a silent movie. And there's Kathy and I in the Episcopal Church over in Brattleboro. And we're up at the altar. And it was my mother started filming it after the vows and all that stuff. And we just gave each other a kiss. We turn around, we're walking out. And then we're going outside. And my hair is down to here. And it was actually looked longer than Kathy's, and then the wedding reception afterwards, which was just an absolute turned into a drunken brawl. It was awful. I mean, it was fun for those who like to get drunk and stoned, but you know, looking back on it, it was awful. And I look at that, And as I watched that, that scripture came to mind. As I watched it again in my office downstairs earlier this morning, and I looked at that, and this scripture came to mind. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. All things have become new. Hallelujah. He was God then, but in his graciousness and love, he revealed himself to us in powerful ways. And he is the God of the now. And he has delivered us and is in the process of delivering us. Kathy's still got a lot of things she's got to get over. And I got one or two things myself. You know, so he's in the process of delivering us. Behold, now's the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Joel said that I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, and the locust that can't speak. My great army, which I sent among you, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord who has dealt wondrously with you. He deals wondrously with us. Hallelujah. He doesn't look at you and go, you're trash. He doesn't look at you and go, you're nothing but an idiot. He looks at you and say, you're my son. You're my daughter. I created you in my image and in my likeness. I created you. I love you with an everlasting love. I know what you're in. I know what you've done. And I've got the power to deliver you out of that and restore to you the years that the locust has eaten from your life. There will come a day when your life will matter. There's a coming a day when your life will make a difference in somebody else's life. There is coming a day that I will impart to you my power, and I will impart to you my grace, and I will do wondrous things for you, and I will do wondrous things through you so that you can be used by me to bring salvation to others. I am doing this for you, the Lord is saying. I am restoring to you the years that the locust has eaten. And when I look at that scripture, what that tells me is that all those years that I thought I wasted and that I piddled away and that I destroyed, God has restored it so that those things which were meant by the enemy to destroy me and to kill me and to tear me down, God is now using it to build me up and to strengthen me and to show other people there is hope in the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm happy about that this morning. Old things have passed away. What you will see tonight is still me, but it's not me. I'm still the same guy. But I'm not. It's not that my hair's shorter. It's just that there's even less of it. It's shorter. It's thinner. So there's less of that there, but there's more of that here. So what has disappeared in some places has showed up other places. I don't know. But I'm not the same, but I am. I'm still Matthew. I'm the guy that walked down the aisle 32 years ago with that woman who was not brave but stupid enough to complete that walk with me. And now is brave enough to continue to walk that with me. And when you see her in that, that's not the same woman that's sitting here, but yet it is. Why? Because God is restoring to us the years that the locust has eaten. I dare say, if you're sitting here this morning and you're going, man, my life is amounted to nothing. I ain't never going to be a nothing. I ain't never gonna be a nothing. Kathy, you teach English. And I know I'm gonna hear about that later. No. You are something. You are something. You are created in the express image of the Lord God Almighty that made the heavens and the earth. And he has purposed. See, you're not an accident. You are a purposed person. You are a purposed person. And everything that you have done, and all of the sin that has been in your life, and may be there now, if you will grab a hold of the God of the now, the last day of 2006, He'll still be the God of the now, the first day of 2007. The God that we worship this morning, the God that we're trusting in today, will be in this place tomorrow when we're worshiping Him. But I'm not concerned about tomorrow, right? I'm concerned about today. Now. This moment. He's the God of the now. And He can take all of what has been in your life and restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. Now, I want to say this as well. You may have been wrapped up in drugs and alcohol and prostitution and all that kind of stuff and lifestyle that I led. And God can do for you what He's done for me because He's no respecter of persons. But you may be sitting here saying, I never was involved in all of that stuff. I was not like that. I had a good life. I grew up nice in a nice clean house. We had a nice clean car. I have a nice clean job. And I've just never done any of those things that you did. Well, guess what? You still sin. You still have fallen short of the glory of God. You still need redemption. You still need a Savior. You still need to be taken out of darkness and placed in His marvelous light. Because it is not by works lest any man should boast, but it is the grace of God that is imparted to us that brings salvation. So I don't care what kind of lifestyle you had. You could have been just the most goody-goody two-shoes that there ever was. And your righteousness is just as much filthy rags as this druggie. Now, we can't see how that is. But that's because we see through the eyes of flesh. We don't see through the eyes of God. No, none are righteous. No, not one. We're all on the same boat together. And He's the God of the now for all of us. In that same boat.
Right.
Jesus, walking on the water, came in the middle of a storm. And Peter's in the boat. He's riding in the storm. And he's going, oh, man, I hope this thing don't sink. And Jesus shows up. And he said, don't worry about it. God, I'm kind of paraphrasing here, okay? I'm not quite sure how Jesus would have said it. Maybe he did use a King James. Maybe he said, thou sayest that it is stormieth out. But I am arriveth on the zenith. And I don't need your boateth to walketh on watereth. So here I ameth. And Peter said, Lordeth, if that is youeth, biddeth me to cometh out of this boateth. It's easy to say it that. All you have to do is grab your tongue and start talking. You sound just like a King James. Right? So Peter said, bid me come. Lord, if this is really you, then you tell me to get out of this boat and I'll come. And the Lord said, come on, Peter. Come on. Get out of the boat. And Peter went, okay. So Peter's a fisherman. He knew how to swim. You get out of the boat. Wow. Cool. Hey, Jesus. Look at what I'm doing. Jesus said, come on. So he starts walking. You know what's happening? He may be getting closer to the Lord, but he's getting further away from his safety zone. Further away from that safety zone. So he walks. And all of a sudden he realizes he's out of reach of the boat. He's not quite in reach of Jesus. It's storming out. Life is still going on. There's all kinds of storms in my life. And he starts looking at the storm. And what does he do? He starts to thicken it. Down into the watereth. And he realizes that he's in a lot of danger. Because he can't reach the boateth. And he can't reach Jesus. And he cries out, Lord, help me. I'm sinking. Jesus walked up to him, grabbed a hold of him, brought him up, brought him back, put him in the boat. So you little faith. You see, Jesus wants us out of the safety net that we provide for ourselves. And He wants us to get out on those uncharted waters. But when we get out on that uncharted water, we can sink real easy when we take our eyes off of the Savior and put them on the things that are going on around us. And what happens with people that have not really let go of their past is they try to test the waters, but try to test their waters in such a way that they stay real close to the boat. And even though they may have a faith in the Lord and may be able to walk a little bit in the water, they're not amounting to much because they're still trusting in the boat and not reaching for Jesus. You see, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Jesus said through Paul, he says, now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph through Christ Jesus. Leads us. But Lord, where you're going, I can't handle it. I can't do that. I can't. Where's my boat? Where's my boat? I don't know how. Lord, what do you mean I'm the one as the man of the house, proclaiming the word in the house? I don't know how to do that. Let the Sunday school teachers do it. Lord, how am I supposed to be the husband that you called me to be? When all of this stuff is going on in the world that really kind of tantalizing for us husbands. I don't want to follow you. I 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 want righteousness in my life. I want to be the man that you've called me to be. But Lord, is there any way I can do that? And still hang on to the safety net. Still hang on to the boat. Is there any way? The Lord says, no. Lay the axe to the root of that which bears bad fruit in your life. Axe it. Let go of that safety zone. Walk out on the waters. I'll make the water still. I'll make that field green. I'll lay a table before you for you to feast upon that you cannot possibly understand or grab a hold of until you start following me. And you don't follow me by just saying you believe in me. That's just the first step away from your safety zone. If you follow after me, that means you walk it. That means you pull alongside of a brother or a sister and you walk with them. It means that you bring your children with you. It means you get away from that safety zone in that boat and you walk on the water. And yes, there will be times that you begin to sink because you're a human being and you still sin. And the storms of life still go on around you. I'm not promising you a bed of roses. I'm promising you life eternal. I'm not promising you an easy life. I'm promising you a fulfilled life. I'm not promising you that everything is going to go peachy keen for you. I'm promising you the power to walk through storms. But you must set your eyes upon me, and you must walk that uncharted water. And as long as you stay by that boat, you will never fulfill what I want to fulfill in your life. And you will never see those years that the locusts have eaten, you will not see them fulfilled. I cannot return it to you when you stay in the boat or stay next to the boat. Get out of the boat. Jesus said to Peter, come. Come on, Peter. Come. He's been saying that for centuries. Come, Peter. Come, Peter. Come, Peter. Come, Peter. Or Peterette. I say, come. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, and I will do away, I will restore unto you the years that the locust has eaten. Come to me, and I will bring healing and wholeness to you. Come to me, and I will give you purpose for your life. But for that to happen, you must come to me. There's a lot of Christians that call themselves Christians. But in order to really come to Him, we must be Christ-centered. And there's a big, vast difference. He's the God of the now. Right now. This moment. Before lunch. He is God. And He is speaking to people's hearts this morning. I got through the introduction. I had 3 pages of note. I got through halfway of the first page. So I think I know where I'm headed next week. We're going to pick up at thanks be to God. This year, coming up, 2007, the Lord's been speaking to my heart. And there's a couple of things that we need to focus on this coming year. 3 things. He is a God of the now. He's worthy of my worship. And He has given me victory. 3 things. He is the God of the now. He has called me to worship Him now. And He is giving me, He has given me victory. You may not feel like you have victory, but that's a lie of the enemy. You have it because He's given it. He doesn't give it and take it back, give it and take it back, give it and take it back. He's given it. But it's our responsibility to walk in it. Amen? This is the way. Walk ye in it. Now, thanks be to God who always, always leads us in triumph. You watch a parade, you see the Grand Master of the parade. He's out there, usually they have the police car first, and then the Grand Master, and he's got the thing, and he's doing this, you know, and all. He's leading the parade. What kind of parade would it be if you had the police car and then the Grand Marshal going like this, and ain't nobody behind him? We got up early and came down here, sit on Main Street, get a good seat to watch the parade. That's it. See, the Grand Marshal's leading, but it's up to the parade to follow him. Jesus is the Grand Marshal. He is leading an acclamatory parade, and I'll explain that a little better next week. But we are to be the parade following the Grand Marshal. Jackie, short testimony. I've heard that from Jackie before.
No, Pastor Matt.
I'm standing real close to the microphone.
Years ago, in 2005, he did a sermon on stepping out of the boat, and I know it's 2005. Yeah, because I'm hearing you do all this and everything, it's bringing it all back to me. And he did this sermon, and I had gotten this phone call from this woman. And she wanted me to think about having a foreign exchange student. And I go to church and I hear Pastor Matt talk about stepping out of the boat and stepping out of the comfort zone. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, you know, that isn't ever a message. And I did have the foreign exchange student. But right before the foreign exchange student came, I'm sitting in my car going, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. It reminded me of the storm. You know, you said you're still in the storm. But I did it. And I had the foreign exchange student. I brought him to church. I know God touched him. Because as soon as his English got better, and I knew he was really hearing better, you could see him all fidgety in church. So you knew he was hearing the sermon. But I don't even know what God has accomplished through all that. But I just want to encourage all of you, if God is saying something to you right now, if there's something that God is saying to you, And this is ministering to you, step out of the boat. The one thing about this experience that I had is that my 2 sons were living at home, and I could have sent one of my children off, and he could have been a foreign exchange student in some other country. But the foreign exchange student coming into my home was an experience for all of us. And it was a step. It was a step of faith. And it was something, and even Rick was involved in my life at the tail end of the foreign exchange student. And so, you know, God used that experience, and I know I'm not done with it.
We were still in Agape.
Prepared her for me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
the foreign exchange student prepared her for Rick.
I don't know what God may be saying to any of you, but I just want to say to you that it just, this is really bringing it all back to me. Our life with Christ is a walk of faith, and it's a constant life of stepping out of the boat. Constant.
Amen. 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 Do you hear God saying by His Spirit to you today, get out of the boat? Now! Say it with me. Now! Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank You and praise You for Your Word. I thank You, Lord, that You are King and Lord of all, that You lead us in the ways of righteousness, peace, and glory unto Yourself. Lord, may our lives truly be lives that step out of the comfort zone, out of the boat, and that we will walk towards You as You lead us in triumphant praise. Lord, we love You. We thank You for Your Word. And I pray, Father, that if anyone here is challenged by this, that today they will mark this day and say to You, Lord, I'm stepping out of the boat. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand.